რადიო თავისუფლება FM 107.4
ეთერშია ახალი ამბების გამოშვება. ზავის მიუხედავად აღმოსავლეთ უკრაინაში ბრძოლა გრძელდება. სომხეთის პრეზიდენტმა პარლამენტიდან გაიტანა ოქმი თურქეთთან ურთიერთობის შესახებ. ისლამური სახელმწიფოს მიერ კოპტ ქრისტიანთა სიკვდილით დასჯის შემდეგ ეგვიპტემ საჰაერო იერიში განახორციელა. კიევის განცხადებით ბოლო 24 საათის განმავლობაში უკრაინის ძალებზე 112-ჯერ განხორციელდა იერიში რუსეთის მიერ მხარდაჭერილი სეპარატისტების მხრიდან, მიუხედავად ზავისა, რომელიც 15 თებერვალს ამოქმედდა. საგარეო საქმეთა მინისტრის პავლო კლიმკინის თქმით, უკრაინა სრულად იცავს ზავს. კლიმკინმა ტერორისტებს დონეცკიდან და ლუგანსკიდან ბრალი დასთო არტილერიით, ნაღმებით და გრადის ტიპის სანადგარებით იერიშების განხორციელებაში. სააგენტო როიტერსი არცელებს უკრაინის არმიის პრესმდივნის სიტყვებს, რომ ზავის ამოქმედების შემდეგ მოკლულია 5 სამხედრო, დაიჭრა 25. კიევიც და სეპარატისტებიც აცხადებენ, რომ თავდასხმების გამო ფრონტის ხაზიდან არ გაიტანენ ძიმე შეიარაღებას. ტანკების, არტილერიის და რაკეტების გატანა აღმოსავლეთ უკრაინის ფრონტის ხაზიდან 17 თებერვალს ადგილობრივი დროით ღამის 12 საათზე უნდა დაიწყოს, როცა მინსკში გასულ კვირაში ხელმოწერილი საზავო შეთანხმების მეორე ფაზა ამოქმედდება. სომხეთის პრეზიდენტმა სერჟ სარქისიანმა პარლამენტიდან გაიტანა ოქმი, რომელიც ეხებოდა მეზობელ თურქეთთან ურთიერთობის ნორმალიზაციას და დიპლომატიური კავშირების დაარსებას. 16 თებერვალს გავრცელებულ განცხადებაში სარქისიანი ამბობს, რომ პარლამენტის სპიკერს გალოსტ საჰაკიანს ოქმის მისთვის დაბრუნება სთხოვა, რადგან ციტატა, თურქეთის მთავრობას არ აქვს პოლიტიკური ნება, ის ამახინჯებს ოქმების სულისკვეთებას და შეტყობინებებს და განაგრძობს წინაპირობების წამოყენების პოლიტიკას. ციტატის დასასრული. ამასთან, ოსმალეთის იმპერიაში სომეხთა მასობრივი ხოცვა-ჟლეტის, რასაც სომხეთი გენოციდს უწოდებს, მეასე წლისთავის მოახლოების ფონზე სარქისიანმა განაცხადა, ანკარაში ძლიერდება ისტორიის უარყოფის და გადაწერის სურვილიო. თურქეთსა და სომხეთს შორის ურთიერთობა წლების მანძილზე დაძებული რჩება სომეხთა მკვლელობების შესახებ განსხვავებული ვერსიების გამო. ერევანსა და ანკარაში შორის ურთიერთობების ნორმალიზაციის ოქმს ხელი მოაწერეს ციურიხში 2009 წლის 10 ოქტომბერს. დანიაში დააპატიმრეს ორი მამაკაცი, რომლებიც პოლიციის ინფორმაციით დახმარებას უწევდნენ კოპენჰაგენში 14 და 15 თებერვალს განხორციელებული იერიშების მომწყობ შეიარაღებულ პირებს. ადვოკატის ცნობით დაკავებულებს 10-10 დღით მიესაჯათ პატიმრობა. პოლიციას ეჭვმიტანილების სახელები არ დაუკონკრეტებია და მხოლოდ ის განაცხადა, რომ ისინი თავდასხმელებს რჩევა დარიგებებით ეხმარებოდნენ. საქმის ძირითადი ეჭვმიტანილი პოლიციამ 15 თებერვალს მოკლა ორმხრივი სროლის დროს. 14 თებერვალს პირველ თავდასხმას შეეწირა დანიელი კინორეჟისორი, თავდასხმა მოხდა გამოხატვის თავისუფლებისადმი მიძღვნილ ღონისძიებაზე. დაახლოებით 10 საათის შემდეგ განხორციელდა მეორე თავდასხმა ქალაქის მთავარ სინაგოგაში, კოპენჰაგენის ებრაელთა თემის წევრ დან უზანს თავში მოხდა ტყვია და დაიღუპა. ეგვიპტის სამხედრო უწყების ცნობით მან ექსტრემისტულ ჯგუფის ისლამური სახელმწიფოს სამიზნეებზე იერიშები განახორციელა ლიბიის ტერიტორიაზე, მას შემდეგ რაც გავრცელდა ვიდეო, რომელზეც თითქოს ასახულია ექსტრემისტული ჯგუფის წევრთა მიერ 21 ეგვიპტელი ქრისტიანი კოპტისთვის თავის მოკვეთის აქტი. შეიარაღებული ძალების გაერთიანებული შტაბის პრესმდივანმა 16 თებერვალს განაცხადა, საჰაერო დარტყმების სამიზნე იყო ისლამური სახელმწიფოს საწვრთნელი ბანაკები და იარაღის საწყობები და მიზნად ისახავდა კოპტი ქრისტიანების მკვლელთა მიმართ ჩურისიებასო. პრეზიდენტმა აბდელ ფატა ალ-სისიმ 15 თებერვალს სახელმწიფო ტელევიზიით განაცხადა, ეგვიპტეს უფლება აქვს შესაფერისად უპასუხოს თავის მოკვეთის აქტებსო. მამაკაცი ქრისტიანები დეკემბერში და იანვარში გაიტაცეს ლიბიაში, სადაც ისინი სამუშაოდ იყვნენ წასულები. კაიროში განთავსებული ალ-აზარის მეჩეთი, რომელიც სუნიტურ ისლამში ერთ-ერთ უმთავრეს ავტორიტეტს წარმოადგენს, თავის კვეთის აქტებს უწოდებს ბარბაროსულს და აცხადებს, რომ მათ არაფერი აქვთ საერთო რელიგიასთან ან ადამიანურ ღირებულებებთან. მოსკოვის საქალაქო სასამართლომ უკანონოდ მიიჩნია ვიაზმელი ქალის სახელმწიფოს ღალატში ბრალდებული სვეტლანა დავიდოვას დაპატიმრება. სასამართლომ 16 თებერვალს გამოიტანა განაჩენი, რომ დავიდოვას თავდაპირველი დაკავება, რომელიც 22 იანვრიდან 3 თებერვლამდე გრძელდებოდა, იყო უკანონო. საზოგადოებრივი პროტესტის შემდეგ 7 შვილის დედა 3 თებერვალს ციხიდან გაათავისუფლეს სასამართლომ და ქვეყნიდან გაუსვლელობის პირობით. მოსკოვის სასამართლოს დავიდოვასთვის ბრალდება არ მოუხსნია. ლაპარაკობს რადიო თავისუფლება, ეს იყო ახალი ამბების გამოშვება. ახალ ამბებს უფრო ცოტა ჩვენს ვებსაიტზე გაიცნობით radiotavisupleba.ge.
It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. We have a great President's Day program for you today. Not one, but two great guests are coming your way in the next hour. In the first half of the show, from Hawaii, a very talented producer and innovative songwriter and creator of music, Kavehi. She joins us all the way from Hawaii, and she will be here with her ukulele and all of her technology and bring you some very interesting and unique music. In the second half of today's show, we have three brothers who are on tour promoting a brand new album. They are AJR, and they join us right here on Border Crossing. Stay tuned. We've got a great show. It begins with Kavehi on Border Crossings on the Voice of America. Here in D.C., we welcome to VOA and Border Crossings, Kavehi. Welcome to D.C.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Now, you are right now on the internet all the rage. I mean, you know, everybody's checking you out. I've seen some of your videos have 50,000 views and above that and beyond that, millions. And you're doing great. And your new album is out right now?
Yes. Robot Heart is out now. I have a new one coming out in March called Evolution. That's going to be the continuation of Robot Heart. But, Yeah, we're pretty busy.
So tell me about your music. If you could describe or define your music, because everything's got a name. It's pop. It's country.
Yeah.
What you do is so unique and so different. What would you call it? What do you call it?
Well, you know, I hate to use it, but everybody uses it, and I think it's a great description. It really is like a one-woman band. I don't have a band with me, you know, and I don't have a drummer, so I took up beatboxing, and I do that. So basically, I just kind of build a song from scratch, as you would hear an entire band hear it, play it. So that's pretty much, you know, how I build everything.
And has it always been that way? I mean, you just kind of discovered the instrument, or how did you get into music? Well, how did this start for you?
Well, I mean, I've always been into music. I was your average singer-songwriter with a guitar, and I did that for a long time. And, you know, I moved to Los Angeles from Hawaii to do that. And I just kind of got bored doing the same thing. I wasn't getting any better. It was pretty much as good as I was going to get. And I saw someone, John Bryan, he did a looping show in Los Angeles. And I've always wanted to do it, but have never really had the, you know, the cojones to do it. That was like the first. I finally got to a point where I was like, I need to get better, and I picked it up, and now it's been 3 years that I've been doing music this
way. Fantastic. And it's kind of, you know, it's a risky live type show, because if something goes wrong technically, a power outage or something breaks in your setup, because you're very reliant on all of the technology.
Yeah, I mean, it's really everything is on, with technology with me. And even like looping, if I mess up a loop, and I've done it before, I'd be like, I hope you guys liked it, because I'm starting all over again. Did you like it? Good, because it's like I'm doing it again.
And the different sounds you create, are they, I mean, where do you come up with them? I mean, you use your voice, you use sounds, you use all these keys you're pushing to create other sounds. Where do they come from?
Basically, you know, a lot of time in my PJs, going through every single sound and, you know, just kind of figuring out what sounds good. I mean, I kind of have an idea, like I want a bass sound, so I just kind of go through all of them. And, you know, I have this box of Voice Live Touch, and it basically makes my voice sound like a dude. Mm-hmm. And that's what I use for the bass sound, because, you know, dudes have good bass voices. So, I mean, just little things like that, you know, I just kind of figure it out as I go.
Do you work with other people, or is this always just you and you alone?
Just one-woman band.
Have you ever thought of incorporating a couple of musicians to create a different sound?
Or? Yeah, I mean, I've done the band thing, too, for a while. Yeah. And, I mean, it's really great to have that dynamic with someone else on stage. It's hard to get five knuckleheads in a rehearsal, you know, studio and like practice and just kind of, you know, mesh together. So I just kind of, you know, I like it this way. I like the one woman band thing.
Now, I saw an interview that you had done with somebody else, and in that interview you said you hope to go to Japan. You'd love to do that one day. Did that dream come true yet?
Yeah, you know, I've never actually played in Japan, but I feel like whenever I travel to Asia, it's always my stop. I'm always there, and it's a little tease, but hopefully one day I'll get to stay and do a whole show.
Do you do a lot of international touring?
I did a whole kind of Asia a few months ago. We went to Singapore and Guam and Hong Kong, and we stopped over in Japan, but I didn't get to play. But yeah, we were Malaysia, kind of like a whole Asia tour, and it was fun. I had a good time.
Sure. All right. Well, let's check out some music for you. I mean, tell me about the song that you're about to perform for us.
I'm going to play Anthem, and it's off of my EP called Robot Heart. It's, you know, just about telling people, you know, that they can do good things, and we should all, you know, be good to one another.
All right. Let's listen to Kavehi right here on Border Crossings.
What you gonna do?
Wow, Kavehi's in our studios sounding great. I guess they officially call that looping. Isn't that kind of the term that's technically applied to what it is you're doing? Beatboxing, but looping?
Yeah, looping is just the recording of one element after the other, on top of the other, layering.
That's fantastic. There's not a lot of people doing what you do.
No,
at least not as well as you do it.
I'm getting there, day by day. No, not a lot of people. I mean, it's a tricky thing to do. You know, timing is everything, and if you mess one layer up, then you're going to have to, you know, everything else gets, it's a whole picture. If you, one element's off, then everything else is off. So it's hard.
And it's, so, I mean, it's very hard to get the attention, the fame, because radio airplay, to get a radio station to play your music, they always look for you to be in a format, to fit into the format box. And since you really can't say that, here's the format that I fit in, it's hard to get the airplay. So you're basically getting your attention and popularity through the internet.
Yep.
I mean, and people are discovering you, which is a good way. It didn't hurt Justin Bieber or many others who got discovered on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, videos nowadays are so huge, and everyone's hungry for new content. And it's not only done a specific way now. Now, you know, there's tons of musicians that, you know, and maybe they're not necessarily Katy Perry status, Taylor Swift status, but they're making a living like me, you know, doing what we love. And, you know, I think the internet's a great tool to be able to get your stuff out there in a different and unique way.
Mm-hmm. And it's a male-dominated field right now in terms of the EDM and the electronic stuff that's going on. I mean, Calvin Harris and David Guetta and those folks, they're all over the charts. Zedd, I mean, you know, there's all over the place. So this is a good opportunity for somebody to do what you're doing, to break into the pop world.
Yeah, I think, you know, people get a kick when they see a small Hawaiian Asian chick start beatboxing. You know, I mean, it's definitely not what people expect, you know, and I mean, I like that about it. It should be changing new things, for sure.
And you have a huge fan base that really loves you and supports you. In fact, I read that they funded some of your work.
Yeah, all of my EPs that I've done six, and all of them have been crowdfunded. This last one closed at, I raised like 1,500% over what I had asked for. So I have a really great following, and, you know, I'm not with a label. I choose not to be. I choose to be, you know, a DIY artist and do everything on our own. My husband and I do everything together, from, like, you know, shooting all the videos to producing to writing all the tracks. And, you know, I think it's a great way to connect with your fans, and, you know, they're basically helping you do what you love, and it's a great feeling.
Kavehi's our guest here on Border Crossings, and Robot Heart is the name of the new album, and it's out now, and it's doing well, but you've got another album coming out in a few months, and going out, continue to tour and perform, so your lifestyle is just nonstop touring. When do you have time to write new music and create new music?
It's really on a strict schedule. You know, it's really important that, even though we tour, that we put out new, you know, material. And, you know, we usually do anywhere between two or three EPs a year, you know, because everybody wants new content and we want to keep everybody happy, including myself, because that's what I love to do. I mean, I love to be on stage, but I love writing. That's really where I'm at, because I don't have to get all dolled up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to put on a dress for a writing session. I can just be my PJs. But yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully we can kind of stay on the schedule and put out new things.
What's the strangest inspiration for a song that you've ever had?
A lot of times I reach out to my fans and I ask them, you know, what, you know, they want me to write a song about. And one guy wanted me to write a song about apples. So I've done that, which is very odd.
Off your bucket list?
Off my bucket list.
Apples. Ooh, song about apples.
Check.
There it is.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, there's always different things that people, you know, want to hear songs about. And I mean, a lot of times I'm, you know, cleaning the toilet and something will come to my mind. You know, it just out of nowhere. You just have to constantly be in that mindset.
What comes next? I mean, do you see yourself staying in Kansas, or do you see yourself moving to New York and trying another big city, or is that not your thing, not your bag?
No, I have no interest in being back in the big city. I mean, you know, nowadays with technology and with internet, you know, you can be anywhere and do, you know, be a musician and have a, you know, successful enough career. And I like that. You know, I'm at that stage where I'm pretty much, everyone asks me, you know, it's like, what's the dream? I'm like, I'm living it, baby. I get to pay my bills. I don't have to worry about living in a cardboard box. Get to write music and perform for everybody. It's really a dream come true.
Now I'm going to ask you a cliche kind of question, but what has been the highlight for you so far? Because you've been doing this, I don't know, I think, since 2010, if I'm not mistaken, right around there. So what's in the last 5 years has been the biggest and best moment of what you do?
I think, you know, just being able to, for the first time, not have to worry about getting a job. That was a big thing for me. I think when we moved to Kansas, you know, and everything kind of took off on the internet, was the first time where we were able to breathe. And that was a big moment. And, you know, playing my first sold-out show in New York, that was definitely a huge thing. You know, I'm used to seven people drunk, drinking beers at a sports bar somewhere, not caring, you know, what you're doing. So it was really great to have a full room of people just, you know, loving what you do.
All right. Well, we're going to love what you do a little bit more. Kavehi, if you wouldn't mind doing another song, what do you sing or perform?
I'm going to do a song called Lucy.
Lucy?
Lucy. It was written for a backer, a Kickstarter backer. It was for his daughter. He sent me a video of her, and after watching it, it just kind of felt, you know, inspired to write this song for her.
All right, let's check out Kavehi on Border Crossings. Was Lucy by Kavehi, who's in our studios here on Border Crossings today. And so that song was inspired by one of your fans, one of your supporters. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to have supporters and fans who are writing in and telling you what to perform, and you respond. Not many artists do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I thrive off of that. I love that, you know, just being able... I mean, they're the reasons why I get to do this, you know, so the least I can do is have a conversation with them and figure out, you know, find out what's going on in their lives. And I love that every, you know, I get that, you know, response every time I'm at a show and they're like, I can't believe...
Radio თავისუფლება. Უსმინეთ ჩვენს პროგრამებს. სადავო საკითხებს.
ეს იგი როზა ლუქსემბურგის ოცნების შრომის კოდექსი არის შესული.
სინამდვილეში ეს არის ქართული ოცნების ამორჩეულთა საოცნებო შრომის კოდექსი.
Და გადაცემებს საკითხებზე, რომლებზეც მოქალაქეთა უმრავლესობა თანხდება.
ჩვენ გვიდა საქართველოში აღვაშენოთ ევროპული ტიპის დემოკრატია.
ევროკავშირსა და ნატოში ინტეგრაცია არის ჩვენი სტრატეგიული არჩევანი.
Radio თავისუფლება. ობიექტური მაუწყებლობის 60-წლიანი ტრადიცია.
Means everything Bandcamp and definitely.
Does the writing and the creative process come easy for you? I mean, you're obviously a creative person. No, it's not an easy thing.
Well, I think, you know, I think it should be a combo of two things. I mean, you should definitely, you know, have that creativity and constantly be thinking about it. But it should also be like a job. You know, you have to sit and try to come up with something. And a lot of people get stuck in, I just am waiting for the moment to come. You know, I mean, it's definitely... should be a mixture of hard work and sitting down every day and trying to come up with something and, you know, cooking and coming up with an idea too.
Wow. Balancing it all. And you're working with your husband. You said he's on the road with you. That's, mm-hmm. that adds a lot to a relationship.
Oh yeah. We haven't killed each other
yet. Yeah. You don't get to escape.
We're you're still on the road alive.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good that you survived.
Yeah,
Lawrence, Kansas,
a
good place for, you know, family and husband, wife, to be happy. Now, the last video that you put out was a Nirvana cover.
Mm-hmm.
So what, I mean, why did you, is that a band you like? Why Nirvana?
And yeah, I mean, I love Nirvana, and I was heading down to South By and had just gotten a new piece of gear, and, you know, I needed to test out a new equipment, and Paul just got cameras, and we literally just turned it on and didn't want to take, and I think that's... always kills me. You know, that was like the one video that took off was the one that, you know, you could see the bottle of wine was already half drunk, you know, and, you know, we were just having a good old time and there's tons of mistakes and, you know, it's just kind of a in the moment video. And I mean, I love it. It's really great.
And the new album, will that have any covers on it?
Probably not. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
Can you give us any insight into some of the stuff on
No.
There. No? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Do you even know the name of the new album?
Yes, it'll be called Evolution.
Evolution.
It should be out, you know, the first week of March. And it's going to be a continuation. Robot Heart was about a robot who wanted to become a girl, human. And this would just be the continuation of the story.
Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Great. What do you want to see and what do you want to accomplish in the next year?
I just want to be able to keep doing this till I croak. That's it.
Well, that won't
be
for a long time. Kavehi, thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and have you in the Voice of America. You're lovely. Your music's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's Border Crossings on VOA 1.
2, 3, 4.
Floor and I'm already losing my mind. Baby girl, looking fine. Watch you playing and playing and playing these guys.
Catch my stare, a little smile.
Tell me that you're ready and you're feeling the vibe.
Someday I'll be so
catch your name, my lady.
I know what you're thinking when the bass starts ringing. Can you tell me when you're stoked to start? Are you ready for tonight? Setting it on fire and we'll dance until we're dumb in the dark. My lady, I know what you're thinking when the bass starts ringing. Can you tell me when you're stoked to start? Oh, are you ready for tonight? Setting it on fire and we'll dance until we're dumb in the dark. Hey, are you ready? Down a dirty jokes, watch me dear and say what you want.
Say what
know.
You want to know.
Beauty lies within the eyes of the beholder. I'll be holding you close all night.
I won't forget you, but I may forget your name, my lady.
I know what you're thinking when the bass starts ringing. Can you tell me when you're stoked to start? Are you ready for tonight? Setting it on fire and we'll dance until we're dumb in the dark. My lady, I know what you're thinking when the bass starts ringing. Can you tell me when you're stoked to start? Oh, are you ready for tonight? Setting it on fire and we'll dance until we're dumb in the dark.
Hey.
Are you ready?
AJR in our studios. Welcome, AJR.
Hi, thank you so much.
Now, AJR is actually three brothers. You guys are all brothers, Adam, Jack, and Ryan.
You got it.
Now, first of all, congratulations on all the success you've had with two EPs.
Thank you.
And now your debut album coming out in March. That's got to be a very exciting thing for you to be finally releasing the big studio album.
It's really exciting. It comes out March 3rd, and the entire album was written, produced, recorded, and mixed by us in our living room. Which
in
is
your
why
living
it's called
room.
Living Room. Yeah.
A perfect name for the album,
yeah,
Living
exactly.
Room. So you do have a record label now. You have a deal. I read somewhere where you got I think it's a Warner Music or what.
Yeah, so we actually started our own record label called AJR Productions, and we started out street performing in Washington Square Park, in Central Park in New York City, mm-hmm. and made some money to buy a microphone, Pro Tools, and started recording. And we put out our first song, I'm Ready, before we had a record label deal. So we just formed our own label. And now we have this really great relationship with Warner Brothers where all the creative stuff happens on our side mm-hmm. and all the business stuff happens on theirs. So we still get to put out basically whatever kind of music we want, which is really lucky.
And what's this fascination with SpongeBob? Why you know,
that was his idea.
Of all the songs, you say, okay, we're going to release our debut single and we're going to sample SpongeBob throughout the song.
Yeah, I came up with that idea about 2 months before we wrote I'm Ready. I actually came to Ryan and said, you know, an EDM artist like Skrillex or David Guetta should use SpongeBob as sort of like an ironic throwback for like the kids who used to watch SpongeBob as a mm-hmm. child. And he was like, that's a great idea, but we're going to do it. And that was kind of the first step in making I'm Ready.
Mm. And you guys have always been, you know, pursuing this music dream together because you're brothers. Obviously, you grew up in the same house. And
yeah.
so
mm-hmm.
was this an early thing that you decided we're going to do
yeah.
this?
We grew up listening to like Beach Boys. Simon and Garfunkel, all the great artists of the 50s and 60s, that really inspired us. We started doing harmonies like the Beach Boys and mm-hmm. then started writing our own stuff.
You guys are on tour right now, or is this promotion for the album? What brings you to D.C.?
We're doing both at the same time, you know, kill two birds with one stone.
Exactly.
We're in an opening slot on a tour right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then after our album comes out, hopefully we'll be going on a headlining tour.
And you guys have performed with people like Demi Lovato and Train and things like that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of fun, I guess. You know, did you pick up anything along the way from these artists?
Absolutely.
Any,
yeah. Yeah, like
pearls of wisdom?
Yeah, exactly. One of our favorite things is actually watching artists perform, picking up like gestures or the way they, you know, motion to the audience. It's just super helpful.
Mm-hmm. What's a lot of fun, too, is performing in front of a lot of different types of audiences. We've done a lot of these college shows. We've opened for Demi Lovato, who obviously has younger fans. It's very cool to see that we can appeal to many different types of people. We did this tour for, I don't know if you know, Hoodie Allen. He's like a
sure.
A
he's got some of that Sheeran right now.
Exactly, yeah. We did a tour last year with him in England, and we appealed to his fans. So it's cool to see that you
what
can
a diverse audience.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's great. Great exposure. You said you were in England, so are you guys doing a lot of world touring and performing?
Yeah, we actually came back from Australia I guess a couple months ago, and we did some promo touring there, and the song actually, crazy, blew up in Australia and was number three there in the country.
Right. So, 2 times platinum.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey, I studied you guys.
Right.
I studied you guys. I love your sound. I love what you're all about. And I find it interesting that a group of young musicians is finding the roots back in doo-wop. Mm-hmm. And you even do a little folk. I read that there's some folk mixed into your music, so you don't get pigeonholed into one particular sound. You're kind of flexible enough to do a bunch of things.
Definitely.
Now, if I were, you know, like 2006, if I were walking through Central Park in New York, I would see you guys performing. How did that go? You just said, let's go out and beg for some money. I mean, how do you do that?
Well, growing up in New York, that's all it is.
That's
like, there's so
is.
Many street performers. Mm-hmm. And we were thinking, we love music so much, we want to take it to the next level. Let's just do something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we got, what did we get? We got, like, the ukulele. I mean, we actually bought the ukulele, like you said, from street performing. But we took, like, mics, went out, and we just sang for, like, 6 hours a day each day over the summer. And that's how we spent
it. How much would you make in a day? Typical day? I
mean, we did, sometimes we did, like, $150 an hour, which was, like, a really good day.
Wow, I think I'm going to quit my job.
Well, I was this, like, 8-year-old kid doing, like, Michael Jackson dance moves on the street, so they felt kind of bad for me. So they were like, all right, let me help this kid out. Yeah.
We almost got arrested one time, actually, because we didn't have a permit.
Oh.
So the police tried to take us away, but we convinced them, because he was an 8-year-old kid, we convinced them not to arrest us.
That we
is
convinced them
business.
To just take him away. As the 8-year-old kid.
That's big business now. I mean, there's a lot of people who are performing in the New York subways.
Yeah.
And there's competitions as to who gets the rights to get in a certain subway.
It's like such politics within that group. Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, that's great. And so when you're writing your music, is this a family effort, or is there one brother here who kind of is the creative genius behind the songwriting process? Or
it's definitely collaborative. I do a lot of the writing and producing, but it's definitely, we wouldn't have the sound we have if it wasn't for all three of us individually.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you have a lot of internet followers. I mean, you kind of have really developed this on the internet, and a lot of people have given you a lot of attention. You were the artist to watch and artist of the year, and as you say, Australia, you guys are on fire as well. So hopefully we can, you know, sell some records in the United States and put you at number one on the charts here.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, because you guys have a great sound. AJR is here. We're going to ask you to perform a song, if you wouldn't mind.
We're going to do our new single. It's called Infinity.
Infinity. All right. AJR live here on Border Crossings. All right. Yeah. Sounding great. Well,
thank you.
AJR.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very, very good sound. Now, the two older brothers went to Columbia or still in Columbia, or did you graduate?
Yeah, I graduated from Columbia.
And I'm at Columbia now, and he's going to Columbia.
And, of course, the parents insist that you get the degree and you finish the study. So how does that come into play with the making music? And as you become more popular, your time becomes more in demand musically.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've taken these past couple of years off of Columbia because the music has taken up so much time. But even while I was out there, I was producing stuff in my dorm room. Mm. If it's important to you, you find time for it, basically.
Yeah. What are you studying at Columbia?
Not sure. I just did my freshman year there, and I didn't declare a major yet, so we'll see.
And what got you into music? I mean, what was it? Was it the listening to the parents' love of the music you mentioned, or was it girls, or what is it that attracted you to get into the music business?
Our dad was always a lover of music. I mean, he played drums going up, and he had actually the same drum set that Ringo Starr had when he was a kid in his living room, and he actually kept it, and now we have it. And him playing on vinyl, everything from Beatles, Beach Boys, Joni Mitchell, even Peter, Paul, and Mary, like, it was very inspiring to listen to how those people grew up and had songs with a message. So that was something that was really important to us.
I also think the harmonies are kind of really what got us. I mean, when you listen to music, the music that you really love is the music that makes you really feel something. Mm-hmm. And even at that young age, when we heard the harmonies of, like, three-part and two-part, it's just made us feel it. So, you know, we gravitated towards
it. And so there you were a few years ago. You got the idea. Let's send out our stuff to a bunch of celebrities. And I think I read something like 80 celebrities was the number. The magic number. And then all of a sudden, you get a response. So you tell the story.
We were in a psychology class together, me and Adam, and he was taking notes, and I was tweeting to celebrities, at Justin Bieber.
While you're in class, right?
Exactly, yeah. At Justin Bieber, the link to the video, and no one responded except the last one I did, which was Sia. Mm-hmm. And she ended up retweeting us, and she wanted to go meet us for breakfast, so we met her for breakfast in New York City. And she came out of her hotel room singing I'm Ready, which was very cool.
Did she let you see her face? I mean,
At that time, she wasn't
No mask, no veil.
Yeah.
And we're the only people that know who she looks like.
The only three that got to see her, and her husband.
Right.
And then she ended up introducing us to our now manager, so very exciting.
It was really cool sitting with her at brunch. We were talking about songwriting, and she wrote down things about structure and how she likes to write songs, and we were playing her stuff. It was really nice to see such a down-to-earth celebrity.
Right, and you know, all it takes is a break, and out of 80, you got one person, and that's a pretty huge person to get. Sia's right now, I mean, she's a hot property.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so that's you know, has she influenced your music? Has she talked to you about the songs? Do you run them by her before you were going to record?
Yeah, we send her a lot of stuff. She has great opinions on stuff. She loves the big hooks and, like, the big soaring melodies, so we look to her for opinions on stuff like that.
Any chance she'd write something for you or collaborate on something?
That would be awesome.
That would be
awesome. She could bring in some other people to, you know, do some stuff with you, too.
That would be very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be fun.
Once we collaborate with her, we can't show our faces, though.
That's right. You all wear veils.
It's in the contract.
Who is A? Who's J? Who's R?
Yeah, exactly. We're all just silhouettes.
So the first two EPs did very well for you, and now the big album's coming out. And what can we expect from this album? What's the sound? What's the story you're telling? Is it a concept album, or is
it's a concept in that the entire thing was made in the living room. So it's a pop album in the way that, like, Pet Sounds was a pop album. And pop, we were talking about this, it's kind of a funny genre now. It's kind of become the anti-pop genre, where every song that's big is a folk pop song or hip-hop pop or, you know.
Right.
So we wanted to do something that was proud of being pop. It's a pop album. It's creative. It's edgy. We're really proud of it. But it is a pop album at its core.
And what are some of the songs we should be looking out for? Your favorites on the... I imagine each one of you has different favorites for different reasons. But, you know, when the album comes out, what should we be looking for?
My favorite is probably a song called The Green in the Town. Mm-hmm. I really like to play it live, and it's a really big pirate-style anthemic song. Mm-hmm. So,
back to SpongeBob.
We have a song called Big White Bed. That's this song that no one has ever heard before, none of our fans. It's a new one. Really broken down, simple acoustic with a lot of, like, reverb vocals. It's, like, really interesting sounding. It's definitely my favorite.
Mm. Can you?
We have something called an overture that is coming out soon, and it's kind of the modern pop version of a like classical overture from a mm-hmm. Broadway show or something mm-hmm. where it like cuts up the vocals. So I'm really excited for people to hear that.
That combines all the songs on the album.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's fantastic. And so it's interesting to hear you each have a different favorite song for different reasons on the album. So that's kind of really cool. Yeah. And so, I mean, the influences go back to the 50s and the doo-wop and whatnot. And so today's sound, you're cutting edge. You're creating your own unique niche. And so where do you want to be in a year from now? Where do you see yourselves? What's your short-term plan, long-term plan?
I think the short-term plan is to play in front of as many people as possible. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things is to see people's reaction when we're playing songs, whether it's something they've heard 100 times before or something brand new, to just look into their eyes while we're playing and see them appreciating what we're doing mm-hmm. is just so rewarding. And even selling 1 million albums, there's nothing like playing for one person, just seeing their reaction to music. So that's what I'd love to do more of.
Sounds like you like the smaller venue type things then.
Yeah, I mean,
you play a festival of 50,000 people.
Right.
It's not as intimate. I mean, a smaller venue can really see faces.
Yeah, as much as the goal is like Madison Square Garden for anybody, I'd love to do those couple hundred person rooms around the country, even when we can play stuff like Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, you hear a lot of rappers saying, like Macklemore specifically, he's always like, I like the smaller venues because what he's saying is so personal to people. So we like to like have a conversation with them. It's great.
Right. So what's been the highlight for you guys up to this point? Because you've been doing this since 2006. So this isn't yesterday. I mean, you've been doing it a long time.
What's been the highlight? Australia was great. It was just a great trip, and it was great to see how well our song did there.
Yeah, we were saying that's like the farthest you can possibly get away from where we live, and people know our music there, which was just amazing.
It feels almost like we've conquered like the other side of the world.
And where else have you performed besides Australia? And you said London earlier?
Yeah, we did.
So where
London,
else?
Manchester, Birmingham, through the UK, we did. And
all throughout the United States, I think there have only been 3 or 4 states that we haven't visited.
Wow.
Yet.
That's fantastic. And so, I mean, like I said, this has got to be exciting. You're young, you're very talented, and you have your debut album coming out. So there's some nervousness, anxiety, worried about, oh my gosh, what's going to happen and all that. But it's still at the same time fun. And it's coming out at a great time. In March, we'll be right around springtime.
Yes.
And so then the plan for the summer is big tours?
The plan for the summer is big tours.
Big tours.
You got it.
Big tours. There it is. Nothing else
more
to say than big tours. So tell me about your social networking. Where can people find out where you're playing? How can they reach out to you and stay in touch with you? Because you're talking to an international audience right now. So
right. Everything is at AJR Brothers. So our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, they can find everything at AJR Brothers. And Twitter is one that we really like to use because we try and respond to as many fans as possible. Mm-hmm. We don't want to hide behind any kind of facade. We want our fans to see that we're actual people and we can take out our phone and say back to them, oh, that's awesome. Thanks for the love or whatever. Mm-hmm. So Twitter is one where we really like to interact with people.
And so, I mean, best advice you got so far and who gave it to you?
Don't do anything for the money.
Don't do anything for the money. What are you doing it for then? I'm doing it for the money. For the love.
Yeah, for the love.
Love doesn't pay the rent.
Yeah.
We'll be homeless just as long as we
can. As long as we have the love.
I love that. I love the sincerity that, you know, that you are, you know, grounded and down to earth like that. That's very, very nice. Don't ever change. Don't ever let anybody change it. Deal. And so the album is called Living Room, March 3rd, I think you said?
Yes.
Is the release date. And if people want to catch you online, they should definitely check in with you. And you'll respond to the Facebook messages and the Twitter messages directly yourselves. And the tour is going to go around the world, hopefully.
We'll see.
So the audience will be able to invite you to, you know, come perform in the different countries. I'm going to ask you to do another song, if you wouldn't mind.
This one's called Growing Old on Bleecker Street. And like you said, we're very inspired by Simon and Garfunkel. Mm-hmm. And we grew up right near Bleecker Street in New York City.
Okay.
So this is about the neighborhood we grew up in.
Beside you, saying it will be okay. I'll take my time, I'll take my time. You cannot rush what can't be timed. It's tough believing that there's someone living out there happier than
guitar, but dreams are only dreams. And then I wonder when we leave, will the moon still be wide and the river green? Sometimes I wonder if we matter at all, if we're not ready.
AJR in our studios in downtown DC. So, what is it you're doing? Is that looping? I mean, you're not looping because I don't hear anything.
So I use it to like trigger the individual sounds. You know, sometimes piano and for the SpongeBob too.
Oh, yeah, oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's all the technology is just amazing. I mean, you know,
it's really easy to use. It's fun.
It's endless. What you can do these days. And did you have any problems using SpongeBob? Did anybody come back and say, "Hey, who gave you the rights to put SpongeBob in your song?"
We actually got the sample cleared early on, and it seemed like Nickelodeon didn't necessarily think it was going to be a big hit, so they gave us a really good deal.
Yeah, and then they asked you back for the movie, right? I mean, you...
no, we actually, yeah, we were surprised.
Yeah, we were thinking maybe they were going to use it for that. Yeah.
And so, I mean, here's a question that I get asked to ask, you know, some artists often, a young audience, young artists, is that American Idol programs like that, was that something that ever entered your mind? You ever think, let's get some exposure and go on those kinds of shows? Or no, you want to do it a different way. You want to do it your own way, in your own terms.
Yeah, we had a very clear vision of what we wanted to do with the band and our look and our, mm-hmm. what kind of music and what kind of risks we wanted to take. I think we got like a bunch of those shows reached out to
we
us.
Got but some
we
offers,
really, yeah, we really felt like we wanted to go grassroots and do this ourselves. Mm-hmm.
It's rewarding. And so what happens when a big label says we want to sign you? I mean, it has risk and reward because the reward obviously is the big promotion budget and all that stuff.
Right.
But the risk is they take control that you are used to having. And you guys started from the very basic bare bones with you're playing for a microphone to buy a microphone.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we're very lucky that we have this deal with Warner Brothers where we get to do the creative on our side and then mm-hmm. they push it to radio and whatever. So
that's fantastic.
It feels good to have
it. It's a win-win then.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Everybody wins.
It's a new model for the music industry.
Yes, it is. About time. What do you think of the music industry? Yes, young people coming into the business now. I mean, it's a tough business.
Yeah, it is a tough business. And there are so many people who now have really strong and innovative ideas, mm-hmm. especially young musicians. And the music industry is seeming to accept them with people like Lorde, Imagine Dragons. You're hearing more new innovative stuff on pop radio, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. And people are starting to go back to albums. There was a time that albums were hard to sell and because of, you know, the technology, iTunes and things like that.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, people are going back to albums.
So yeah. And that's what was really important with Living Room, that it was an album, that it was a concept and the order mattered and the, mm-hmm. the story mattered, that we're just big fans of real albums.
Fantastic. You know, when people see you in concert, is it what we're seeing now, or is there a big
it's
is a group
bigger.
Behind
way,
you?
It's way bigger.
Way bigger!
Yeah, we have a drummer and a whole bunch of drums on stage and a whole DJ Pro Tools set up, just like a whole big
fantastic. So people, again, want to check you out on your website. What's the web address?
AJRbrothers.com.
Thank you, guys. AJR have been with us here on Border Crossings. Three brothers who have combined to bring us some great sounds, and thank you for stopping by the Voice of America and Border Crossings to bring us some new music today. Also, thank you to Kavehi, the guest in our first half of the show, who was absolutely lovely and really enjoyed her very creative approach to music. We will be back tomorrow at 1500 Universal with another hour of requests and dedications. Thank you, Felicia Butler, our producer. My name is Larry London, and this is the BOA One Music Network.
Larry's on Twitter. Follow.
რადიო თავისუფლება FM 107.4. ყოველ დღე 23 საათზე და 5 წუთზე და ღამის პირველ საათზე გთავაზობ თითო საათიან რუსულ პროგრამებს.
Говорит Радио Свобода.
Свобода თავისუფლების ეთერში. ყოველ დღე სიხშირეზე 107.4 და სხვა სიხშირეებზე. ლაპარაკობს რადიო თავისუფლება.
ინტერნეტში ჩვენი მისამართია radio tavisupleba.gr.